Welcome to the Banner of Truth. The following program of inspiration is brought to you by the Free Reformed Church, with locations in Monarch, Lacombe, and Calgary. And now, the Banner of Truth, with Pastor Jack Schumann.
Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26. We read the verses 47 through 58, and then the verses 69 through 75. And while he, that is Jesus, yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest's and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? In that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, are ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. But all this was done, that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. And now we pick it up at verse 69. And these are also the words of our text. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by, and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Dear friends, one of the unique features of the Bible is that it makes no attempt to cover up the sins of those who fear the Lord. In Genesis chapter 9, for example, we have the record of Noah getting drunk and lying naked in his tent. In Genesis 16, we have the story of Abraham losing faith in the promise of God and trying to produce an heir through his servant Hagar. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, we have the sordid account of David's affair with Bathsheba and the subsequent murder of her husband Uriah. And I could go on and on. The Bible is full of examples of children of God who fell deeply into sin. But of all of these examples, perhaps the most spectacular is here in our text. The denial of Peter. Now, Peter's denial is usually looked on as a great tragedy, and it certainly was. But viewed in light of Peter's repentance and our Lord's gracious forgiveness, the story of Peter's denial is also one of great triumph. In his commentary on Matthew's Gospel, John MacArthur writes, the story of Peter's denial is a lesson about the security of God's saving grace. In fact, what is emphasized most in Scripture throughout the account is not Peter's failure, but the Lord's forgiveness. The reason the episode is recounted for us in such detail in Scripture and in all four Gospels is not merely to remind us of our human frailty, but more important, to reassure us of the wonderful security we have in Christ. Now, with this in mind, let us examine this portion of the Word of God together. The theme for the sermon is Peter's denial of Jesus. We'll consider two points. First, the shocking progression of his denial, and secondly, the blessed outcome of his denial. The events of our text take place shortly after Jesus was arrested. We read about this in Matthew 26, verses 47 through 56. Jesus and the disciples were in the Garden of Gethsemane. While they were there, Matthew informs us that Judas, one of the 12, came with a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people to arrest Jesus. After a brief scuffle, during which Peter cut off the ear of the high priest's servant, Jesus was bound and taken to Jerusalem, to the house of Caiaphas, where, according to verse 57, the scribes and the elders were assembled. Following some distance behind was Peter, most likely accompanied by John. All of the other disciples had fled, just as Jesus had predicted. Now, the fact that Peter accompanied Jesus is not surprising. Earlier that evening, he had said, in the presence of all the disciples, that he would never be offended because of Jesus. Now Peter had to put his money where his mouth was. He followed Jesus, but at some distance, so as not to be noticed. When Peter arrived at the house of Caiaphas, he was granted entrance into the courtyard. This was probably due to the influence of John, who, according to John's gospel, had some connection to the high priest. And so, having entered into the courtyard, Peter made his way to a small fire in order to warm himself. While he was there, a damsel, probably a servant girl, began studying him intently, as though she recognized him. Suddenly she walked over to him and said, in the hearing of everyone present, "Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee." No doubt caught off guard by the question, and afraid of being found out, Peter flatly denied it. "I know not what thou sayest," he said. Mark informs us that immediately following this exchange, Peter moved away from the fire and went to stand under a porch. The porch was probably a covered gateway, a smaller forecourt leading from the courtyard to the street. No doubt Peter was unsettled by the fact that he had been recognized. He might have been trying to get closer to the gate in case he needed to make a quick escape. He was also looking for a place to be alone and to avoid further questions. But alas, it was to no avail. As Peter stood under the porch, he was approached by another servant girl who also recognized him. Speaking to those standing nearby, she said, "This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth." John makes it appear that several people accused Peter at this point. In John 18, verse 25, we read, "They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples?" And in Luke 22, verse 58, we read, "And after a little while, another saw him, this time a man, and said, Thou art also of them. And Peter said, Man, I am not." And so we get the impression from the other gospel accounts that Peter was being bombarded on all sides by questions and accusations. Feeling more uncomfortable, Peter denied that he knew Jesus a second time, this time with an oath. "I do not know the man," he said. Following his second denial, Peter moved to another place in the courtyard, again in an attempt to avoid being noticed. From Luke's account, we infer that from this new position, Peter had a clear view of what was happening inside Caiaphas' house. He saw, probably through a window, what was happening to Jesus, how he was blindfolded, spat upon, and beaten. As he watched these proceedings, he was confronted again, this time by a number of people at once. Evidently, the servant girls had been talking about Peter to others, Perhaps an argument broke out concerning Peter's true identity. And so, determined to put the matter to rest, they approached Peter and said, "Surely thou art also one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee." They were referring, of course, to Peter's accent. People from Galilee had a certain accent. And since Peter spoke with this same accent, and since they knew that Jesus and his disciples were from Galilee, they concluded that Peter had to have been a disciple of Jesus. As if to confirm the accusation, John informs us that one of the servants of the high priest, a relative of Malchus, whose ear Peter had cut off in the garden, said to Peter, "Did not I see thee in the garden with him?" Backed into a corner, Peter suddenly lost control. We read in verse 74, "Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man." By cursing and swearing, Matthew does not mean to suggest that Peter was using foul language. He simply means to communicate that Peter pronounced a curse on himself. Basically, he was saying, "I am not a disciple of Jesus, and may God strike me dead if I am not telling the truth." Well, as soon as Peter said this, the rooster crowed. We read in verses 74 and 75, "And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Matthew here is referring to the events recorded in verses 31 through 35. Jesus and the disciples had just finished celebrating the Passover, and they were on their way to the Mount of Olives, where they would spend the night. On the way, Jesus made a stunning announcement. "Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad." Jesus here was quoting from Zechariah 13, verse 7. There the prophet Zechariah, speaking of the sufferings of Christ, quotes God as saying, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones." Jesus understood this prophecy to refer to the events that would take place later that night. Within a few hours, Jesus would be arrested. The sword of the governing authorities would be raised against him, and at the sight of that sword, all of his disciples would flee from him. Upon hearing these words, Peter protested loudly. We read in verse 33, "Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." In response, Jesus said to Peter, "Verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." The Lord warned Peter that that night he would betray him, not once, not twice, but three times. But Peter refused to believe it. Peter said unto him, "Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." And we read, "Likewise also said all the disciples." Peter therefore had sinned grievously before the Lord. Not only had he denied the Lord three times, even invoking the name of God, he had also discounted the words of the Lord Jesus. In effect, he called Jesus a liar. Now it's easy to be hard on Peter, but let me ask you, are we any different? How many times have we not denied the Lord? We deny him every time someone takes the Lord's name in vain and we say nothing. We deny him every time we come to church and do not worship him with our whole heart. We deny him every time we sin against him in thought and word or deed, either intentionally or unintentionally. We deny him every time we do not take advantage of opportunities to speak to others about him and his salvation. We deny him every time we sit under the preaching of the Word of God and do not allow it to bear fruit in our lives. We deny him every time we do not trust him and take matters into our own hands. We deny him every time we begin and end the day or eat a meal, or go on a journey without calling on his name and asking for his blessing. And I could cite many other examples. The point is, we deny him every time we act as though he did not exist. Oh, my friends, does that describe you? Are you, like Peter, a denier of the Lord? Oh, if we are honest, must we not confess that we are? Yes, all of us, without exception, have denied the Lord. Not just three times, but hundreds, thousands, even tens of thousands of times. In that respect, we are much worse than Peter. And the question is, where does that bring us? Well, where did it bring Peter? We turn to that under our second point. Having remembered the words of the Lord Jesus, Matthew tells us that Peter went out and wept bitterly. What we have here is a description of true repentance. What is repentance? Well, to repent means to go in the opposite direction. It involves two things. It involves, first of all, a sorrow over and a forsaking of sin, and secondly, a turning to the Lord in faith. Well, this is what Peter does here. He sorrows over his sin, and he turns to the Lord in faith. Notice what he does. Matthew says he went out. Now, where Peter went, we do not know. He may have gone just outside Caiaphas's courtyard in one of the alleyways nearby. Or he may have gone back to Gethsemane, to the place where he ought to have been, weeping and praying with the Lord whom he had denied. We do not know. All we know is that he went out. And why did he go out? No doubt because Peter wanted to be alone with God. Peter had many things to confess to the Lord. He knew that the only way he could do that was by finding some place to be alone. Some place where he could pour out his heart to God without being seen and without being interrupted. And so he did what anyone would have done in that situation. He went out. My friends, can you identify with Peter here? Have there ever been times in your life when you needed to be alone with God so that you could pour out your heart to him, confess your sins, and plead for his forgiveness? That's a mark of true repentance. The person who truly repents feels this overwhelming need to be alone with God so that he can pour out his heart to him and plead for his forgiving grace. Peter went out. But he also, Matthew says, wept bitterly. This is another mark of true repentance. True repentance always involves sorrow for sin. The person who repents not only feels bad about his sin, he sorrows over it, at times to the point of actual tears. Now, to be sure, not all sorrow signifies true repentance. In 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10, the Apostle Paul speaks of a godly sorrow that worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. And he contrasts that with a sorrow of the world which worketh death. Now, Judas experienced the latter kind of sorrow. Later in this chapter, we read how after Jesus had been sentenced to death, Judas returned to the chief priests and confessed that he had betrayed innocent blood. When the chief priests told him that was his problem, he threw the 30 pieces of silver on the ground and went and hanged himself. Judas was sorry for what he had done, but his sorrow was not a godly sorrow because it did not lead to repentance. It led only to death. His sorrow was a sorrow of the world. But not so with Peter. Peter's sorrow was the deepest possible sorrow. It was a sorrow of heart. It was a sorrow mingled with shame over his sinful behavior. It was a sorrow mingled with hatred of the sin itself. It was a sorrow mingled with a desperate longing to be restored to a right relationship with God. Well, do you know something of that kind of sorrow, my friends? This too is a mark of true repentance. We cannot say we have repented of our sins unless we have truly sorrowed over them. Now, that does not mean we have to shed actual tears, but it does mean we have to feel sorry. So sorry that we experience no peace until these sins have been confessed, forgiven, and we have been restored to a right relationship with God. The third thing we notice here is that Peter did this immediately. As soon as the rooster crowed, Peter went out and wept bitterly. He did not wait for a more convenient time. He repented right there and then. Now here too, we need to take instruction. How often does it not happen that we feel convicted by our sin? Perhaps as the result of hearing a sermon or meditating on a passage in the scriptures. But rather than confessing it and pouring out our heart to the Lord, we simply forget about it and move on. Oh, my friends, do not do this. When the Holy Spirit is at work, take advantage of it. When He convicts you of your sin, confess it. If you wait, chances are you will not feel as convicted anymore. Therefore, do like Peter. Go out immediately and weep bitterly before the Lord. Peter therefore repented of his sin before the Lord. And the Lord forgave him. How do we know? Well, because one of the first people to whom Jesus appeared when he rose from the dead was Peter. We do not know what Jesus said to Peter on this occasion, but it is quite certain he assured him that he had forgiven him and that all was forgotten. We know this too because of what we read in John chapter 21. There we have the account of Jesus and the disciples eating breakfast on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. During the meal, Jesus turned to Peter and asked him three times whether he loved him. And three times Peter said that he did. And after each time, Jesus commissioned him to feed his sheep. Why did Jesus ask Peter the same question three times? Well, he was seeking to reverse the damage done by Peter's three denials. Peter had denied the Lord three times. Now he had to affirm his love for him three times. And having affirmed his love, Jesus restored him to his previous position as one of the apostles. One commentator writes, "The marvelous way Peter was forgiven and restored by Christ is proof of the thoroughness of Peter's repentance. But what is even more notable is the depth of grace and the wonder of forgiveness that can restore such a fallen saint to such an extraordinary position of usefulness. It is one of the most graphic proofs of the wonderful, unassailable security with which all who belong to Christ are kept by Him." Well, my friends, do you see this morning? At the beginning of the sermon, we observed that the denial of Peter was a great tragedy, and it certainly was. But even more importantly, it was a great triumph, a triumph of the forgiving grace of God through Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God, this grace is still available today. Perhaps there was someone listening to my voice this morning who has denied the Lord. You once confessed Him to be your Savior. You attended church, but it was a long time ago. And now you are not walking in His ways. You are living in and for the world. My friend, the Lord is willing to forgive you and to restore you if you will only repent and turn unto Him. Or perhaps there is someone who is still going through the motions. You go to church, you attend Bible study, you are actively involved in the community, but your heart is not right with God. You are one person on Sunday and another during the week. My friend, listen. The Lord is willing to forgive you and restore you if you will only repent and turn unto Him. Or perhaps you are a true child of the Lord. You love the Lord and desire to serve Him, but your faith is so weak. At the slightest hint of trial or temptation, you surrender. My friend, listen to me. The Lord is willing to forgive you and restore you if you will only repent and turn unto Him. Yes, no matter who you are or what you have done, whether you have denied the Lord for many years or only just recently, whether your denial was a major denial or a minor denial, the Lord is willing to forgive and restore. If He forgave and restored Peter, who denied Him three times, the last time with cursing and swearing, then He is willing to forgive and restore you. And therefore I say, go to Him. Find a secret place like Peter did. Pour out your heart to the Lord. Confess your weakness and unfaithfulness. Ask Him to forgive and to restore, and He will. God's grace will always triumph over our unfaithfulness. That is the message and comfort of Peter's denial. May you also know of this comfort today and every day until our Lord comes again. Amen. Dear friends, this radio broadcast is not meant as a substitute for worshiping in a faithful, Bible-believing church. If you are not currently worshiping in such a church, you are welcome to join us for our services in Monarch, Calgary, and Lacombe. It is a great encouragement to us when we hear from our listeners. If you have been blessed by the message you have heard this morning, or if you would like a free CD of the message, please write to The Banner of Truth, Post Office Box 220, Fort McLeod, Alberta, T0L0Z0. That's The Banner of Truth, Post Office Box 220, Fort McLeod, Alberta, T0L0Z0. Or you can call me direct at area code 403-553-3400. That's 553-3400. For your information, these messages are also being posted on the internet. Enter www.sermonaudio.com in your search engine and search on The Banner of Truth. If you would like more information about our churches, please log on to our denominational website at www.frcna.org. And now, until next week, may the Lord be with you all.
Thank you for listening to The Banner of Truth. For more information about The Banner of Truth and the Free Reformed Churches, visit our website at www.frcna.org. Services are held every Sunday in Calgary at 9:30 and 4 o'clock, in Lacombe at 10 and 3 o'clock, and in Monarch at 10 and 7. Pastor Jack Schumann can be reached at 403-553-3400. Join us again next week for The Banner of Truth.